During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
You know, and I'll just say that it's the one time I'm going to address it. And we won't address it anymore. So there you go. So said it, and that's my piece about what I really believe about Mick Schaefer. And it's okay. I know that you said that you would just simply accept some of the constructive criticism that I gave you, but that is awesome. I didn't know that I was going to do it over the air, but I just felt compelled to let everybody know that.
That was outrageous and outlandish. I can't believe you said a lot of those things. I didn't know those would be allowed to say those words on the radio.
Well, we'll see.
I appreciate that you have those opinions. I'm going to let you say them, right?
Yeah, that's fine. Well, we'll see if they're allowed or not, so if I get a phone call or not. But let's go ahead and get into some sports now, since we are at the Advent Health Championship, Blue Hills Country Club. What happened there is earlier today, the sun was at one spot when we started the show, Mick. And then, as the show was going along, it was at a different spot. And it was like starting to shine on us a little bit from where we were, which was weird, right?
The sun was the one moving, not us.
Yeah.
Because right? I'm a flat earther.
This is odd, right? And so then I moved the table to be a little bit more under the tent. And while moving the table, apparently it unplugged our connection Wi-Fi. And then that eventually ran out of battery. Right. As we were about 10 seconds from coming back from break. So that's what happened. Operator error. I'm going to take the blame for this one. You know why? Because I'm at fault. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to step up and say it's my bad. My bad. I'm going to wear this one, okay?
I'm going to run out of battery here in a little bit. Well,
I don't know, because you've got a couple in front of you that are recharging you right now. I feel like you're getting your batteries recharged as we talk.
Jason, had you blamed that on Sterling, we all would have believed you.
Damn it,
I
should have blamed it on
Sterling.
Sterling's
not here.
Son of a gun.
And
why didn't I blame it on
Sterling's
Sterling?
Sterling's not here, but more importantly, Sterling is Sterling. So that would have been a great call to blame it on him.
Also, the reason it wouldn't have worked is because Sterling was like, dude, I'm good sitting in the sun. I'm getting my bronze on right here. Why are you moving this? I want to stay in the sun, bro.
He absolutely probably said
that. He did say that. That was
exact words.
Yeah. We got here, and it was half in the sun, half in the shade, and he was sitting in the sun. Which was
my
nice.
My boys coming to town.
My boys
I'm
are
ready for these vibes, man.
Need to bronze up here, man. I got my flowery shirt on. This is great. And then Mick shows up and outshines him, shirts him.
I have a better shirt on. Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude, your ensemble is so much better.
Thank you.
His is just sticking a toe in the water of being a loud outfit. Yours is you just dove in head first with your orange hat.
He's trying to pretend like he lives the life. I live the life.
Yeah. I mean, you were born into it. He simply is around it. You were born into this life, Mick. We're hanging out here at the Advent Health Championship Corn Ferry Tour. Blue Hills is our location today, heading up until 2 o'clock. We got cuts coming your way before the show is over. I want to play a couple of these clips from the Royals.
Please make it the tomato bite.
So we played that one in the previous hour.
Play it again.
Can you play it again?
Just play the last part. I just want to hear that.
Just play the group.
A tomato will be a tomato when it wants to be a tomato.
Play the – it's clip number four. Clip number four, and just play the Ned Yost part of it. So when you hear the little – before it goes to Hosmer weighing in on – because it's about the current team and the similarities with this team and the 2014-15 team. But play clip number four again. This is Ned Yost talking about the lack of third base trees, but there are tomato plants with this organization.
It was a group that came up together, and, they kind of, learned the craft or understood what it took to be really good players together. And that takes time. I mean, it's always been my experience. It's two and a half years before a group of talented players get together before they can really take off. And, you know, it was about... I'll never forget, it was about the 2.5 year mark in 13, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, this team's been here together, they're ready to go, and we were three games out going into Yankee Stadium, and I'm flying in the Yankee Stadium.
All right, so that's not the clip. That was earlier. That was him talking about why that group worked, why that group of players coming up together ended up working. Here's the clip of the similarities of this group of players comparing them to what he saw from that group that may be there with
this.
Yeah, we'll find out. This is about zucchini. That was the zucchini one. Let's play the tomato one.
They're doing great. Again, we go back to that 2.5 year mark, you know. And I told Matt last year and Mr. Sherman, look, it's going to take time. These guys are going to grow and they're going to develop and they're going to be the players that you think they are. But it's going to take them time. And I kind of use an analogy, and they kind of laughed at me, but I think it's true. Is that, you know, since I retired, I like to grow tomato plants, right? So I plant all my tomatoes, and I'll sit out there, and I weed every day, and I water them, and I take care of them, and I make sure that they're all doing fine and make sure that they've got enough fertilizer. But no matter how hard I try, I can't walk out there in my garden and start screaming at the tomatoes, I want tomatoes now. Let's go. I want them now. Come on, let's grow. I want tomatoes now. No, the tomatoes are going to be tomatoes when they're tomatoes. The same way with players. All right? They're going to grow. They're going to blossom. And they're going to develop into all-star caliber players. But it takes time. And you see the difference between where they were last year, some of the younger players, Vinny, and you see Bobby Witt Jr. and these guys, and what they are this year. And they're just going to continue to get better and better and better.
Yeah, I said in the previous hour, Mick, that I've never felt as connected to Ned Yost as I do now.
Because you have tomatoes. You should ask him about how to try, you know, how he keeps the squirrels away from his tomatoes.
I've got that. I got that solved now. I got that
22 shell. 22s.
That's part of it. Okay. And I also have the net that goes over the tomatoes now. And if the squirrels get inside of said net, then I break out the extreme measures. But no, I have not had an issue once I laid the net over that. But yeah, very, very, in line with Ned Yost in my hobby of growing the tomatoes. And I know exactly what he's talking about
because you can make tomatoes when they're tomatoes.
I typically go out there and I yell at the plants and it doesn't help. I thought it would. It doesn't help. So
your OPS sucks.
One more strikeout. You're no longer leading off. I put you in this spot for a reason. You were supposed to be the one that sets the tone of the rest of the tomato plants. And yet here you are wilting away and not blooming. There's nothing going on with this. I have pruned you. I have taken off the suckers on this damn thing. Okay. And still here you are not producing any tomatoes. I haven't got a harvest from you. One more week or your ass is out of the leadoff spot. That's usually a conversation I have with them. So
the tomatoes swing and miss rate is just way
too
high.
It's terrible. Well, I just drafted them, so they're in my minors right now. So I did just draft them last weekend, went ahead and set them on their way through the minors as they will continue to grow.
Sure.
And turn into what hopefully is a great lineup that will win the World Series of my wife's heart.
When you grow these tomatoes, when your tomatoes become tomatoes and they're tomatoes,
yeah, right? Mm-hmm.
Do you actually eat them, or you just like brag that like, hey, no, I'm cool.
We love tomatoes. We love tomatoes.
Do you eat them like apples?
We eat the cherry tomatoes like apples. We eat the bigger tomatoes sliced by themselves, or we'll throw them on bacon and tomato sandwiches.
Burgers or whatever. Yeah,
sure. Burgers, yes, absolutely. Anything, typically anything you could use tomatoes for. My wife makes she makes a mean salsa. Mm. It's a salsa that yells at you while you're eating it.
Right.
It's just a big jerk. I don't know how she's able to put all of that. It's like in Ghostbusters 2, how it was all in the sort of the slime. Yeah. Created that hate, but that's what happens with her salsa. But no, you need a decent amount of tomatoes for that. And then we've got a specific tomato that we grow for the bacon and tomato sandwiches, and specific tomatoes that we grow for other things. Yeah, so, yes, it's a fun hobby, Mick. Okay, it gives me something to do, and it reminds the kids of being at their grandparents, since he grows a bunch of crop and vegetables and fruit. And tomatoes, and the kids always go out there and pick the tomatoes and things like that. So when we moved here, I wanted to give them something that could remind them of that. And that's what it is. So yeah.
Well, that's a great story and
thank
hobby.
You.
I just watched TV.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. Totally. See, Ned Yost goes out. He said I think he pronounced it reads. He said, I go out there and I read. Is that like an instrument? The you use a reed to play a clarinet?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. He said reed.
I don't even eat tomatoes, let alone grow them.
Yeah, but like he sits out there and reeds while he, you know, is by the tomatoes and things like that. I don't know. It must be a guy that sits next to him named Reed.
Yeah.
I'm assuming because I'm not sure what it means. Because I'll typically go out there, do the pruning and stuff like that and weeding, and then I'll go watch TV. Or maybe anything else besides that. That's typically
what it is. This is a great soundbite. And I got what he was saying.
Absolutely. And we got the text from Matt Derrick that said, so the players are tomatoes, but there's no third base tree.
Right.
Which is a great poll, Matt. It was absolutely fantastic. So HDH is being celebrated this weekend. Here's Ned Yost. This is clip number 7. Here's Ned Yost talking about HDH and sort of the origin of the conversation he and Dayton had about Dayton's vision to build this team around a bullpen.
You know, Dayton came to me in the winter, I think it was in 13, and he said, look, we can't spend a lot of money on starting pitchers because that was what everybody was focused on. He said, I'm going to try to build the best bullpen that I can for you. And I'm like, okay, well, that sounds good. He goes, if we can get starters that are effective through 5 innings and then we can have 4 guys or 3 guys that can lock out the rest of the game, he said, I think it'd give us a huge advantage. Well, I didn't understand how big an advantage that would give us. So their dominance was such that the opposing team knew that after the 5th inning, that if they didn't have the lead, they were in trouble. If they were tied or they were behind, that game was over. Because there was just no way that they were going to score off of those 3 guys. They were just as dominant as they could be. And then in 15, you know, you add Ryan Matson and you add Luke Hochaver. We had 5 closers on that team. So it was just a huge psychological advantage to our club to have those guys come in late in the game and just completely shut it down.
The point he makes there, which I think is a great one, and maybe we don't give it enough credit, is oftentimes when you're talking about a great bullpen, it's like the great back end of a bullpen. Here's your setup man, here's your closer. And obviously in 15, it was like, here's Herrera, here's Davis. In 14, it was HDH, Herrera, Davis, and then Holland. But his point of, like, we had sort of 5 closers because Hochaver wasn't available in 14, but was available in 15 because Holland wasn't available in 15. You had Ryan Madsen that was brought in 15 as well. So you've got these different guys in the bullpen. So you had 5 guys that were pretty dominant bullpen pieces because you needed them because the depth needed to be there. If they only had Holland and Davis, and it's like you have a great 8th and 9th, and then Holland goes down, now Davis is your 9th, you're not playing a 5-inning game anymore. You're playing a 7-inning game or an 8-inning game to get to those 2. And to have that depth and continue to build, like he talked about, it's a great point of that. Not just a great, but we talk about HDH, but Madsen and Hochaver, yeah. Crow, in that 2-year run, how many guys out of the bullpen were that good? Fraser had 2 wins in the 2014 postseason run. All of those guys contributing.
No, and look, Wade Davis had maybe the most dominant stretch of any closer or any, sorry, bullpen pitcher of the teens, right? Yeah. And nobody was as dominant. I can't remember the inning stretch he had. He pitched the 8th in 2014. He wasn't even the closer. He pitched the 8th.
Yeah.
They were relieved, right? When Greg Holland came into the game, maybe we have a little bit more of a chance now.
Yeah. He's got this pitch that nobody hits, Holland does, but thank God we're not facing Wade Davis.
Right. Thank God it's not the robot out there.
Yes, this guy's got an unhittable pitch out there. All right, and we're probably going to see it a lot. But it's not that guy. At least it's not the cyborg.
And also, we survived the 7th inning as well.
From the guy throwing gas.
Yeah.
And look, it was a credit to Dayton Moore to be able to see that and find the deficiency in the market.
I always wondered, like, did he set out to build a team around the bullpen, or is that revisionist history a little bit? Did he set out to build a lineup that, you know, we're just going to make contact?
Right? We're never going to walk or strike
out. No, we're just going to make contact. Or was that just his lot, right? Was that just, okay, these are the guys we have in the lineup, in the rotation, in the bullpen. Let's figure out a way to use their strengths maximize their strengths, and try to win ball games.
I think the lineup is that, because you drafted your guys, and you've got Hosmer and Moustakas and Gordon, and you're going to have to rely on those guys being who they are. You traded for Kane and Escobar. You can't simply miss on that and have, love the guy, but Mark Tian and John Buck. But you can't end up with those guys. And it's like, oh, fine players, right? But you had American League Championship Series MVPs that you brought back in the Greinke trade. So you were sitting with that group of players. You couldn't really change a lot of that out because it was going to cost you money. But I do think there was an element of, we can't afford all these starting pitchers. Yeah. We can't. So how are we able to do that? Well, we can afford bullpen pieces, and we can go and get, you know, Wade Davis, we brought him over here. We knew at minimum he could be an awesome bullpen guy. Let's see if he can be a starter. All right, it didn't work. Now let's move him to the bullpen. Hochaver, he's trying to start. He's going through 11 and 12 and even 13 as a starter, and it's not working. All right, you're a guy who's going to be a 5 ERA guy. Well, what if we put you in the bullpen? All right, well, you know, dominant. All right, you got injured. We'll see you in 2015 and be able to be dominant in that time. I mean, Aaron Crow wasn't drafted in the first round, so he could be, you know, a middle reliever.
Yeah.
But an all-star in Aaron Crow. So I think there was an element of the lineup is just simply they had to make that work, where there can be more strategy in, we're going to utilize resources elsewhere and not spend a lot of money on starting pitchers. We're going to get a Guthrie, a Vargas, and an Edinson Volquez and work in the margins and not go pay for a Jacob DeGrom or a Max Scherzer or something like that.
I think either way deserves credit and applause, right? Mm-hmm. On one hand, whether you find out a different way to do things, or on the other hand, like, okay, these are the guys we got. Let's maximize their ability to the best of the team's sake, and that's exactly what they did in both cases. It deserves the credit there. And it's funny, we were talking last night. The 14 team didn't win at all, but it's almost like it was more revered a little bit in that, like, it started the run. That run through the ALDS, the ALCS, of course, the wild card game, that was so magical. 15 was great. I mean, just the comeback against Houston and the great games against the Blue Jays. But you lost some in there, and those are real series. Just the out-of-nowhere dominance in 2014 that they put together and winning 8 straight playoff games when they hadn't been there in 30 freaking years, and to do that was more magical somehow in 15. And I know you lose in game 7 of the World Series, you obviously want the other outcome, but it's funny, it seems like there's more magic tied to that 14 team.
I'm in total agreement. I've talked about it, that, you know, that 14 team, because it felt like it came out of nowhere, it was just enjoyable. It was like we were on this unexpected ride.
The win over the White Sox, right, in September.
I was there.
To clinch a spot.
I was there in Chicago. I told the story the other day that, you know, I'm there and hanging out with Ranny, you know, who lives in Chicago, and got there. We were driving up for the weekend series, and now their magic number is 1. So we were driving up on Friday. I may have hit the gas a little bit higher to get there in time. Got to the cell at not Scheffler's, but the cell around the 7th inning. Found a way to get inside. Luckily, there was a very nice gentleman who gave me 2 unused tickets. I asked him for ticket stubs so I could talk my way into it with like a security guard or something like that. He had 2 unused tickets on him, and he's like, I'll do you one better. Here you go. Got behind the Royals dugout. Ranny was down there. The Royals came out and celebrated, all drenched in champagne. You know, Gerard Dyson jumped up on the dugout and is high-fiving everybody. It was an amazing night, and it felt so... And on into the wild card and everything. It felt so unexpected, and it was such a great ride that you didn't know when it was going to end, but it just felt like there was a freedom of watching them play, and this is great. Whereas a little bit like 2018 Chiefs, when it was Mahomes' first year, like, wow. Where then in 2019, if you lose to the Texans, it's like even this team can't get over
that
Arrowhead.
That was their Astros game, right?
Even this team can't get over the Demons. 15 felt so much more pressure of, like, they've been the best year all year long. They've got the best record. They've got the best record in baseball since the end of the 2013 season. You got to do it because you got free agents coming up, and you don't know what the future of this team is. This is your last chance with this group to really get it done. There was so much more pressure, and I think there would have been way more of a feeling of disappointment and depression if they didn't win it in 15 than there was not winning it in 14.
On the other hand, just I don't know if we talk about enough what the 15 team did. You don't do that in baseball, right? The team in the NBA, right? If you come, if you're the Celtics, you're a game short, right? You get the game seven, you lose, you rebuild the next year. Really good chance you get right back to it and win it, right? That doesn't happen in baseball. The team that isn't out away from winning it has a really small chance once again of getting back to that. And they turned it into this, like, almost like a high school team. You know what? We got there as juniors. Now these guys are seniors when you get back there. That doesn't happen in baseball, but they made that happen. So credit, obviously, to the 2015 team. But just the storylines of 14 were unreal. And really how they lost that World Series in Game 7 and the great performances by Madison Bumgarner and then just the air out there at center field and just the debate that we still have that we were asking Alex Gordon yesterday about should they have sent him and all that and just the drama around that entire series and that playoff run. The 14 team was amazing. It was magical. And just 10 years ago, it feels sometimes it feels like, oh, I can't believe it's 10 years ago. Sometimes watching the Royals, although not this year too much, it's like, wow, God, that feels like 30 years ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, it just, you know, obviously the 2015 team got the ring, as you talked about, but that
it
felt
sucks
like
guys like James Shields, right, and Billy Butler didn't get rings.
Right.
They should have.
And that felt like the culmination, like that was the cap of what was that two-year run, where the beginning of that two-year run was post-June. In fact, can we play the clip? This is Alex Gordon, and it is clip 17. And Todd Lebo asked him about August 26th. Perkins is on the mound for the Twins, and Alex Gordon hits a two-run home run walk-off in front of 13,000 fans, and which Ned Yost said, what a great game. I wish more people could have seen it. They were a game and a half up in the division. They were leading the division by a game and a half, and 13,000 fans were there. After that is when the fans were like, all right, let's go and flood the K. But here's Alex Gordon. Todd asked him about that night, if there was something special and a turning point maybe of that night with Ned Yost's comments and then the city going, we're going to wrap our arms around 14 and just embrace this ride.
I always remember that game because we were close, right? We were, you know, almost in first place. I can't remember where we were in the division, but we were close. And there wasn't a lot of people at that game. And I think it was 1-0. I hit a walk-off two-run homer against Perkins, who never gives it up. So the team was excited. We just wasn't a lot of excitement in the stadium. And I can remember, and this speaks volumes for Ned throughout his career, he always had our back. Like, no matter what we were doing, I was always supportive of his players. And I remember getting on the press conference after the game and not really getting on the fans, but just saying, hey, we need you guys out here. And then after that, it seemed like people started filtering in. So that really stuck with me a lot just because that was a moment for me. And then having his support after the game was pretty cool. And that's just the kind of manager he was.
Feels like there were many moments in that 2014 season. Mike Swanson was on with us on Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday. What's today? Friday. So Wednesday, Swanee came on with us, and he, when I asked him, when you think of that 14 team, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Thinking that there would be like, oh, the wild card game or the Moustakas home run in Anaheim, that it was like, okay, this team is not just going to win the wild card game and not be heard from again. They're for real here. Or Hosmer's home run in game two while they were up 1-0 in the series against the Angels. Like, wow, you're going to take two on the road here. But Mike Swanson mentioned, and he said, you know what, the first thing that comes to my mind is Raul Ibanez and the speech that he gave to the team after they lost to Chris Sale. And they were like 5 or 6 games out at that point, and like 2 games under 500. And Raul Ibanez apparently gave this great speech that ignited everything of just like, I don't know if it was screaming and yelling or just a, you know, all these great players that I've played with.
Yeah.
Why don't you believe you're that good?
Yeah.
Do you understand what we think of you outside? Like, I was traded for. I'm here now. You don't understand what people outside of your team are saying about how good you are. Why don't you believe it? In fact, Clip 19, I think, is James Shields talking about just that. Here's James Shields talking about some of the leaders, and he brings up Raul Ibanez.
The Royals did a good job of mixing in some really good veterans. And to have someone like Raul in our clubhouse, I mean, not only his personality is just unbelievable, it's very infectious. You know, he believed in these young kids as well. And you know, guys like him, and hearing that from a young guy's perspective, I mean, it's a game changer. And it changes the thought process in their head a little bit about how, hey, I'm just like you. You're Raul Ibanez. You played with Griffey and all these big name players, and you're telling me I can do this. It's a big deal. So Raul was a big part of this whole thing.
That's the night that Mike Swanson points to and says was the sort of the difference, the line in the sand. I think they
what
played.
What night was that? Do you remember what month?
It was in June of 14, and it was after they played. Chris Sale had won, and they went on a 7-game winning streak, because and they played 18 games over .500 the rest of the way.
This time, 10 years ago, the Royals were pedestrian. They were 20 and 21. They were below .500, second or third, maybe the AL Central, because the AL Central was sucking that year. And that was it, right? And so I kind of compared it to this year, and I'm like, okay, 26 and 19 is really doable, right? Mm-hmm. At this point, they're in a great position to be able to do some things this year. And I love just the gap that hopefully increases. I think it's now at 2 months, right, where the Royals are now with their win total of 26, and where they were last year with their win total of 26, which was mid-July. It's 2 months at this point, and so hopefully they can increase that. But yeah, I mean, it was a similar switch that got turned. I got people serving me drinks here. Similar switch that got turned 10 years ago, and it's amazing. I mean, the Royals now, I mean, they're on pace to win 30 more games than they won last year.
So that night was July 21st. On the road in Chicago, they had just wrapped up a stretch when they lost to Chris Sale 3-1. They had wrapped up a stretch in which they went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 2-8, and an extended issue of 4-12, a 4-12 stretch. And Raul Ibanez, after that night in Chicago, that was their first game against Chicago after they just got swept by the Red Sox. Lost that game against the White Sox, and Chris Sale on the mound throws a 3-1 gem. And Raul Ibanez gives that speech, and they played 41-23 the rest of the way. They went 41-23 and lost in Game 7 of the World Series. And as James Shields says...
You're factoring in the postseason in that, too?
No, I'm not factoring in the postseason, because that would have been 52-27.
Yep.
52-27 the rest of the way.
Wow.
And as James Shields said, you're a young guy, and this guy who's played with all these greats comes in and says, I don't think you understand how good you are. You guys look in the mirror and don't see the team that everybody outside of the organization that plays against you sees.
It's a 108 game pace for the season, right? You're winning two out of every three.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Swanee was like, my memory of 14? That night. That night in Chicago, from where the team was and how perplexed the organization was as to why they weren't winning. They're good enough. They've got the team. But why isn't it happening? What's missing from this team? Well, apparently the only thing that was missing was a belief that they could do it. I mean, which is unbelievable, because confidence is an amazing thing in sports, and certainly in baseball.
Especially baseball.
But, I mean, I don't think anybody would have looked at it at the time and said, oh, getting Raul Ibanez on this team. Hell yeah, they did that, because this is really going to change the course of the next 2 years of baseball in town and bring us one of the greatest 18 months of our lives. It's unbelievable.
It was an amazing run. Hopefully they're on the verge of another one here.
Yeah, that'd be great, man. That would be awesome.
Got a lot of pieces in place that, you know, especially starting pitching-wise, that are better than they had in 14 and 15.
Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll see who's lighting it up, and then we'll get the cuts before we are done on this Friday edition of the show. Hanging out at Blue Hills Country Club. It's the Advent Health Championship Corn Ferry Tour event going on this weekend right here in Kansas City today and on into the weekend. Some beautiful, beautiful weather today. Slight breeze, which cools it off a little bit. And then this weekend will be a nice couple of days to walk around the course and enjoy some golf and get outside and get some vitamin D going as well. We'll take a timeout. Come back. More Zone next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Mick Schaefer, we head up until 2 o'clock. We are out at Blue Hills. It is the Advent Health Championship Corn Ferry Tour. Our location today, beautiful, beautiful day. We head up until 2 o'clock. Then the program comes your way. We got the Sporting KC show tonight at 6 o'clock. And then Knicks and Pacers. It is a 3-2 series there as they head to Indiana for the Pacers to see if they can even that series up.
Reggie
like
Miller
saw
is
last
hot
night.
Right now, but I really like John Starks and what he's doing with this team chemistry.
LJ, Grandma Ma, if he has a big game, you got to worry about that. Obviously, if you got Antonio Davis, you got to deal with him.
Yep.
You got Mark Jackson.
Patrick Ewing's old, but I still think he has a couple good games in him.
The problem is it feels like Rick Smits is outplaying him right now, and that's an issue. But, you know, Mark Jackson just setting everything up for him is putting him in good position to not only even the series, I feel like, for the Pacers, but to ultimately win it.
Sure.
And it doesn't feel like Reggie Miller is going to let this team lose.
No, he's not.
It just has one of those feels to it, right, that, it heads back to Indiana. And then I think they'll go to the Garden and win in Game 7. It's just, Spike Lee there or not.
He's distracted by all the Miller Lite ads he's been doing. Which,
Miller
by the way,
time.
It makes sense. They got him in there. Why don't they have two other guys with the last name Miller? It just threw me off. Like, you got a Wilson and a Watt. You can find some other famous people. Dennis Miller, right? Some other Millers you can get in there.
There's got to be a few Millers out there somewhere.
Some other Millers, right?
Yeah. I don't think he has to yell, sitting!
No.
That was a little too over the top, right?
No.
When where am I sitting?
Why can't it be
sitting?
Why can't it be both?
guess now. Like, no,
they got like a third of the way there. You got one Miller. Get some other Millers in there, but
right. No. Yeah, there was a door. Look, guys, there's a security guard coming in. Just be cool, all right? Now, where am I sitting?
Sitting.
We're hanging out here at the Advent Health Championship. That game comes your way tonight. The Timberwolves with a huge run last night, down 9-2, and there was a tweet, and I'm watching the game and following on Twitter, right, just doing the way that you typically watch games that you're not emotionally invested in, like not doing that during Chiefs games, because I do a lot of rewinding during Chiefs games and playing and catching up and all of that stuff. People don't really like to watch games with me. I get it.
You rewind during Chiefs games, not like the second time you watch them, the first live watching.
I'll rewind, come back, make notes, and then I'll catch up at the commercial break.
Yeah, nerd alert.
I know. That's why people don't like watching the game with me. So I can't be on Twitter doing that, right? Unless I'm fully caught up, and then I'll check into what's going on.
Half the time when I rewind, I don't catch up. And that's what I forget. I'll look at Twitter. I'm like, oh god, I have a quarter behind.
I've done that before, where I'm like at a commercial break, and I'll look at Twitter. And it's like, what an amazing pass by Mahomes. Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, bleep, I'm not caught up yet. Fast forward. But I'll still watch it. Not in real time, right? Because I know what's going to happen at some point. But it's one of the reasons why people don't really want to watch a game with me.
No,
because
I like to
rewind some things, et cetera, when I'm watching that game to take a little notes and things like that. But I don't even know what I was talking about before I decided to go on the
basketball. It was
the Nuggets and Timberwolves. Yeah, so I was checking on Twitter, and when it was 9-2, it might have been doesn't matter. But they tweeted out and said, "This crowd feels like it's just ready to explode, but the Timberwolves will not give them a reason to." The Nuggets just keep extinguishing.
They went on like a 20-0 run.
20-0 run.
There were two 20-plus 0 runs in that game.
Yes. Unbelievable. It's 9-2, and all of a sudden it's 22-9. They go on like a 28-2 run. But it was right as that tweet went out. It's like, this crowd is wanting to explode, but the Nuggets continue to just extinguish any, just smother that out of the crowd as they just, robotically make their way through bucket, defensive stop, bucket, and it's like, oh, great, here we go. So it'll be an interesting one heading back to Denver to see what the Nuggets can do in Game 7. Let's talk about who's lighting it up. Who's lighting up Valhalla today is Murakawa. Colin Murakawa lighting it up. He is 6-under for his round today. He is now 2 shots clear of the leader. Xander Schauffele is shouldn't he be? I think he's teeing off now. He's on 1 or something. 1 or 2. I thought he was teeing off at 1:30 local time. 1:30 here. local time here, not local time there. Morikawa is leading the PGA championship. He is through 16. He's got two holes left. But, of course, Xander still has his entire round ahead of him. So he has been lighting it up today. Scotty Scheffler's 4-under, you know. With the round that he had, he's still got five holes to play, you know. Or four holes to play, and he's 4-under, man. What a hell of a day. Heck of a day.
He needs to win this tournament for restitution, then he's going to have to pay.
All the winnings just simply go back to the city in a citation and a fine and lawyer fees.
Yeah. So is my turn lighting it up?
Yes, go ahead.
I'll go with a couple local teams that usually fly under the radar. The Kansas City Mavericks are starting their series with the Toledo Walleye.
Yeah, the Walleye.
Singular Walleye.
About time they get to start something.
Toledo Walleye in the conference finals, basically the semifinals, what's left of the ECHL. That series, they start up tonight in Toledo. It's a weird deal. I think they play three games in Toledo and then come back for four in Kansas City. It's like, hopefully you haven't dug yourself too big of a hole in Toledo before you come back for your home games.
They did that in the American League or the National League Divisional Series in 2011.
When it was two and then three?
Or 2013,
yeah, they
in fact.
Yeah, two and then three, right?
Because they the Reds had a better record than the Giants, and it was the year the Giants won the World Series, so it was 11 or 13 because it wasn't the year that they beat the Royals. But I think it was 13 that the first two games were in San Francisco, and then the other three ended in Cincinnati. And
I don't think that's a home field advantage.
The Reds took the first two in San Francisco. They were up 2-0 coming back home.
Yes.
Lost the next three to the Giants, and the Giants went on to win the World Series. They were up 2-0 coming back for three. Find a way to win one of those games, and you advance in the playoffs. And they couldn't.
They have bigger travel budgets than the ECHL
does. That's a good point.
That's probably the reason why they're doing it.
Great point. Great point.
Also, shout out to the Kansas City Monarchs. They had the first game last night at home, and they got the win over the Winnipeg team. Winnipeg was in town.
Walleye.
And they're the Walleye, too. Every other team's a Walleye.
Why wouldn't they be?
Blake Richardson had a three-run bomb. I looked him up. Blake Richardson was the 2016 first-round draft pick by the New York Yankees, and he's playing for the Monarchs. He had a cup of coffee with the Nationals, I think, a couple years ago. Yes. Now he's with the with the Monarchs.
Monarchs got some good players, man.
Raking.
They got some good players.
They have some great players.
Yeah,
And so that's why they win
That makes
on a regular
sense.
Basis. makes sense. The American Association.
Sometimes it is the Joes. Sometimes
it is,
it's the Jimmy and Joes and not necessarily the X's and O's. Yeah, I don't know that you're typically hitting and running and sacrifice bunting your way to a championship. It's typically not the way to do it.
No.
I think you can probably do it with your really talented players. All right, that's who's lighting it up. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap up the show with Cuts coming up next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Mick Schaefer, we're hanging out at the Advent Health Championship. Blue Hills Country Club is where we are here. The Corn Ferry Tour going on. We wrap up the show with the Cuts. Let's go ahead and get it rolling. Take it away. What has happened this week? What did we hear? And maybe take out of context. I doubt that would happen, though.
Biceps, but I could do Sean McVay.
Okay. Okay.
We've seen him able to get into balls.
Have we? I'm not sure what. Thanks,
he
Josh.
Went into me.
Whoa.
God, keep going. Extend it. Make the umpire pull out.
Oh, God.
What?
Sterling's going to be a gift to this segment.
I feel like, was he trying to avoid that? If he was trying to avoid it, he just went right to it.
He turned 30, and his inner monologue stopped working, I swear.
I showed you the drumstick, didn't I?
Oh, yeah, I think
you're
right.
Harry.
No, I'm not. I don't even know. Equestrian?
My banana's in the office. I'll grab my banana, and I will compare bananas.
Don't think we
I'll
need
show
to.
You what a ripe banana looks like.
See, the thing about that is he was literally talking about a banana.
He was.
I think. I hope.
Real quick, if you get a tattoo on your butt, that means you like somebody a lot.
Yeah. A whole bunch.
It would be my first butt tat.
Right.
No.
Well.
But not true.
Tat of any kind.
Prove it.
Don't prove it.
I'm with Jesse. keep going.
I didn't get a Sterling's throat coat thing. The honey and tea. I was in late today, so that's why. But
Dylan, I saw that mark so quick.
Oh. It wasn't until I met my wife that I realized that you didn't grow pickles. That's true. I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like a Dodge Charger, man. I felt like I was just lubed up.
Lebo, what's happened to your Nuggets?
Oh, my God. Toast.
Yeah.
T-Wolves.
They're pushing them around, dude.
Fresh and hot and young.
Physical.
And the Nuggets just look old right now.
Beating them down. They do. They look like the, which is weird.
Because they're not that old.
Because they're not that old. Keep going.
Drop it. Because that might be danger zone. You might be entering Kenny Loggins.
Why would we do that?
I wanted them to get blown out, just destroy.
Oh, just roll along.
You've always kind of battled the styling part of it. Your hair is kind of fine. Doesn't really do what you want to do.
Just shot at me today.
I had the whole. I had the same
been a while.
Problem.
Good to see you too. Your hair has always kind of sucked. Welcome back, though. Good to see you, brother.
People used to cut my hair. Used to God, that's cutting.
Plus, there's your breath. You know. Scent of ass? Is that what that?
All right, come down off the cross.
Everybody makes 50 shots at Curtis like per hour, and that one Curtis goes back.
And it wasn't even mad. He was sort of like he was trying to agree with him. Like, yeah, your hair is very fine.
Very short man, but surprisingly, really gets down in there.
He just can't help himself.
Trying.
That's fine. Well, you know what? You said you don't know how to pitch a tent earlier, so.
Market.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I'm not sure. Oh, all right. So make sure you come out to the Advent Health. All that to say, make sure you come out to the Advent Health Championship. I think you're right. I think Sterling may be trying. I think he wants to hold like 12 seeds in the tournament.
He does. He's
12 different teams in the bracket of sound.
That tomato bite's got to be in the bracket of sound. Not the whole thing, just the tomato part. Let's shorter the better on those cuts, okay?
It's going to be in the bracket of sound. Come on. It's got to be. The 68 teams make it.
It's a top four seed at least.
Oh, I don't know about that. It's early.
Top four seed.
It's early. You don't want to get too excited about preseason rankings, all right? It's early in the season. We need to let these tomatoes grow so they can become tomatoes and we see how good these teams ultimately are.
We need to let these cuts grow. The sound grow.
Check out the Advent Health Championship if you're looking for a nice spot to enjoy some golf this weekend. It's here at Blue Hills with the Advent Health Championship. Thank you, Mick.
Anytime.
All right, have a good weekend. Everybody else out there, too. Talk to you Monday.